Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
The Ides of March. It is the 15th day of March, 2023. It's a Wednesday. Welcome to Hagman. A couple of things, you know, some clarity here. The J6 prisoner, Daniel Goodwin, had stated, look, I'm not a political prisoner. And he's correct. He's not a political prisoner. Daniel Goodwin is a political hostage, he says, because political prisoners actually have rights. And how correct he is. So from now on, I suppose it would be more accurate to call the people still incarcerated from January 6th as political hostages. And I believe them to be that pretty accurately, given the fact that it seems that the people on the right are just using them simply as pawns. And hey, if you're sitting in solitary or sitting in a cell, you don't want to be used as a pawn. And of course, Lindsey Graham, you know, he's out there. He's never met a war he didn't like. Lindsey Graham's out there saying, yeah, you know what we ought to do? We should start shooting down Russian planes. Now, there's an idea for you. It just shows you how much the this neocon warmongering apparatus that includes the intelligence community, the U.S. social media surveillance system, the Department of Defense, the swamp has gotten, how deep it is and how wide it is. Central bank digital currency update, Silicon Valley Bank and Jeffrey Epstein connection. There is a connection. I really don't want to get into that at all right now. I just want to mention that. Keep that on your radar. A couple of things coming out. I got, of course, Randy Taylor's going to be riding shotgun with me. And, you know, keep Randy in your prayers. He's been under the weather and still is. And he's doing what he can and when he can. So it's all good. But keep him, in your prayers. Folks, a couple of things. If you don't mind doing this, number one, go to HagmanPI.com. That's HagmanPI.com. Bookmark that website, HagmanPI.com. And check for the new articles that are on there every day. This is stuff that will be used as show prep and will also be information that you need to know about. Okay? I mean, it's just that simple. Randy Taylor, we're going to bring you on right now. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I'm hanging in there, buddy. You know that.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't keep a good man down.
Well, or can't keep a... Never mind. I was gonna turn that phrase a little bit, but it's a family show. I can't do that. Okay.
It's good. It's the prayers from our audience that keep me rolling.
Yes, sir.
And we are in this war together. And as long as I'm breathing, I'm fighting with you. I'm fighting alongside of you.
Sounds good. Sounds good. One of the things, now, you and I shared some information with you prior to showtime. One of the things I want to get into, in case you never heard of Douglas Mackey, this has been going on social media now for some time. I want to touch on this because this is essentially a cornerstone. Well, no, I'll tell you what. To me, this is like, in Exhibit A, if we were in a court setting, this would be Exhibit A of the U.S. social media surveillance system that was put in place, the FBI, the weaponized FBI, Department of Justice, it was the Patriot Act weaponized that whole apparatus. Obama and Holder really turned it into a weapon internally. This Mackey trial is something that everyone should pay attention to. I think Tucker Carlson, we have a video of Tucker Carlson. It's about 2 minutes and 45 seconds roughly. But he explains what's going on with Douglas Mackey. And folks, listen to this and watch this carefully. And then on the other side, I'm going to get Randy Taylor's take on this, and we're going to talk about this because this is, and again, listen and watch carefully. Listen carefully anyway. Pay attention to the dates. Pay attention to what happened exactly. And then we're going to go from there. This is video one in the show prep for today, the 15th day of March, 2023. Go ahead.
Mackey began this week in Brooklyn. It's the single greatest assault on free speech and human rights in this country's modern history. The Biden administration is trying to send a man to prison for saying things they don't like and create a precedent so they can do it to you too. Here's the background. During the 2016 presidential campaign, Mackey posted memes that made fun of Hillary Clinton and her supporters. One of them on Twitter read this way, quote, "Avoid the line, vote from home, text Hillary to 59925. That was obviously a joke and everyone knew it was a joke. But the FBI, which probably has nothing else to do, tracked down several people who texted that number in Mackey's meme. None of them remembered even doing it. And that's according to discovery in the case. So there's no victim here. No one was fooled by what Mackey did. And yet days after Biden took office, 4 years after Mackey posted that meme, the feds arrested him and they charged him with conspiring to interfere with the rights of American citizens. He'd go to jail for 10 years for that. That means if you crack a joke on the internet that Democrats don't like, federal prosecutors get to decide you're interfering with an election. It's hard to imagine a more Soviet prosecution than this, but it gets worse. The DOJ's key witness against Mackey is a member of Mackey's group chat from 7 years ago. But DOJ will not let his lawyers, Mackey's lawyers, conduct a full cross-examination of that witness because he works for the FBI. In other words, the FBI put an agent in his group text. DOJ just obtained an order, quote, precluding questioning by the defense concerning the details of any of the confidential witnesses' current proactive work for the FBI or any other government agencies. What? The DOJ is also telling Mackey's lawyers they can't even say the name of this witness, this snitch, in open court. Now, that violates the confrontation clause in the Constitution. You get to confront witnesses against you in a free country, especially when they're FBI informants, but that no longer exists. The DOJ says if this man's identity is disclosed, he will face online harassment. Therefore, he gets to testify anonymously. What's incredible about the standard is it does not apply to the defense's own witnesses because rights only apply to the Biden people. Yesterday, a hatchet man with the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that currently employs at least one suspected domestic terrorist, was recently arrested, reached out to a defense expert witness called George Hawley. The Southern Poverty Law Center's goon also obtained Hawley's private emails and questioned him about them. He threatened to write an article about Hawley and asked Hawley if his employer was aware that he was a witness in this case. That's witness intimidation. That's what it is, witness intimidation. And it worked. Hawley had to withdraw as a witness. He's not an FBI informant, so he gets no protection from harassment. Today, Judge Nicholas Garofis postponed the trial until next week so defense can find a new expert. He should dismiss this case immediately with prejudice. Everything about it, starting with the charges themselves, so the timing, to the intimidation of witnesses, violates the Constitution. And if free speech, the First Amendment means...
All right. That's enough of that. What in the hell is going on with this Department of Justice being weaponized against patriots? It was a joke put up there, 4 years from offense to the trial, essentially the charges. And you have an FBI infiltration into the chat as well. And then, of course, you have deprivation of any kind of cross-examination or confrontation with the witness, you know, one of the primary witnesses, based on his status as a CI or an operative of the FBI. And let me tell you, when I was an operational asset for the FBI in the 90s, I took the stand, and I had to... I took the stand. I was examined, cross-examined, and I testified. This is highly irregular, illegal, and oppressive. Randy Taylor, what do you think about all this?
Well, allow me to share with you on this, sir.
Yeah,
You were doing when you did that in the 90s. Those were the rules then. I do know that with the Patriot Act, a lot of things changed. And allow me to speak as someone that did this after the Patriot Act. having been an operational asset for the FBI myself for years, working though in a different capacity where our focus was Al-Qaeda and Middle Eastern terrorism. They have now, and let me just give you a thing on how that works. It used to be that you had the right to face your accusers in trial, which I think is a good thing. The way it was set up with me, okay, because I was a concern, you know, I didn't look, do I need to go in here and stare, you know, Osama bin Laden in the face? No. What they do is, let's say that I am the primary witness against an Al-Qaeda suspect in an American courtroom. All I would do is go in, sit down with the judge. The judge would verify who I am, what I'm about, check my creds. Then I did not have to go into the courtroom. So the suspect never got to face their accuser. That's how it was set up. I understood that. But what we've seen now is a horrible transformation of the same rules, which are still in place, now being used against American citizens on American soil. Yeah. That is a totally different scenario. It's just like when they say the CIA is not supposed to spy domestically. My butt, okay? Don't think for one second that the CIA doesn't spy domestically. They do. These rules are being made, and Joe, you know, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I know.
That is very alarming. Every American should be alarmed. What the FBI has turned into is basically like the FSB in Russia.
It's against the political or ideological opposition. You're right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And you'll notice whenever I post something on Twitter and even say the FBI, I always put the FSB up there.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't see the difference anymore. I really don't. We went from being good guys to the people that I was working with being bad guys.
Yep.
Or I couldn't tell the difference. And when I can't tell the difference, trust me, my survival instincts tell me pull back, retreat, and in my case, go dark. And I'll go dark in a second. And trust me, I'm a hard dude to find. Okay. Okay. No, if I go dark and I go on the run, trust me, good luck. I'm too good at changing my looks and everything about me. I can walk in the bathroom looking one way and walk out of the bathroom looking another. Okay. I'm just telling you, I am good at it. All right. But what we're seeing here should scare everyone to death.
Yes.
The rules and justice, all of that was tossed out the window on January 6th, definitely. Okay, a definite turning point in our history. But, you know, you used to have the right to a speedy trial. So many people were denied bond.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, if you're willing to put your house up for bond, that's a pretty good, chances are you're going to be in court. Chances are.
Well, again, the characterization as political hostage is accurate, I believe. And also this, you know, for putting up a meme, essentially what it was a meme. And so you had to,
In the military, we used to call that chicken shit.
Rightfully so.
You know what I mean? That's like getting busted because you have a stain on your shirt, you know, the way out to formation.
So this should warn everyone that the CCP tactics, the social credit score, even though it's not really that, but it's effectively dangerous. That, you know, it's here. I mean, yes. If they could do that to this young man, they can do that to anyone. And
you're seeing the rules being changed on the fly to fit the needs of the prosecutor. With the defendant's rights or anything, and his, I'm sorry, a defendant needs, just like a prosecutor needs, okay, they need to be able to defend themselves. Their attorneys, I don't know how some of these attorneys are even able to do their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I would absolutely be livid. And I don't understand. I guess what is really, really got me confused is, where are all the judges that took an oath? Where are you? What is going on? How come when somebody comes in front of you, you know, you're tossing the book at them, and there's just, it doesn't warrant that.
The oaths don't matter anymore. The federal judges, the judges are compromised, I believe. It's ridiculous. And I forgot to ask, it's another favor while I'm thinking about it. Make sure you subscribe to us either on Rumble or on Brighteon. That does affect our impact or metrics. I know a lot of people, of course, click the like button, folks, but subscribe to us. But go ahead.
And simple business, folks, please subscribe to the HagmanPI.com. Okay.
Do that.
Reason being is that is what's used to deal with an advertiser. If you want to solicit an advertiser, they want to know, well, what kind of audience do you have? So you need those numbers. And folks, that's what helps. Your contributions are fantastic. We love you, but we can't rely just on contributions. But this is simple business, and you business people out there know exactly what I'm talking about, that you understand those metrics, okay? You have to have the viewers and all in order to go and bargain with an advertiser. And thank God for the advertisers that are with HagmanPI.com. Okay.
Amen.
Fantastic people, and God bless them. I hope that their businesses thrive, and God blesses them.
Thank you for that, and amen with that. And also, folks, check out the posting at HagmanPI that has the link to my appearance with Alex Jones, and watch that
great video.
Thank you for that.
Great video.
But you know what? The view count on that. Let's get that up in the. Let's get that way up there. That way, I'll be back on. Well, I'll be back on anyway. But it was some good information. All right. Now let's change gears to Ukraine a little bit. I mentioned about Lindsey Graham. Hey, let's go shoot down some Russian planes, right? Here's what I want to know. Why isn't the media, the mainstream media, you know, Joe and Mika, Eric the Tech, by the way, Eric the Tech, how are you this Ides of March?
Doing great.
You're looking fine too.
Good morning, sir. Got a t-shirt on.
Yeah.
He's dressed today.
He's dressed up.
Right on.
Yeah.
Must be a hot day. You know what? This show wouldn't even be here without Eric the Tech.
I got to tell you, he's been doing so much stuff today. It's just incredible. But if we can put page one up there, again, if you go to Hagman Report or HagmanPI.com and open up today's description box, click on the title, and that'll bring up the video, and it'll bring up the stuff underneath are the links, or you can just go to this HagmanPI.com and you'll see the story. Now, I thought I did a pretty good job writing this story in the middle of the night because you know, I thought I was, but it's kind of humorous in a sense. There's really nothing funny about it, but ironic, I suppose. And here's the essence of the story. You have a journalist actually doing journalist stuff. This guy's name the journalist's name is listed in the article. He is, the heck's his name? Where to put his name? There it is right there. Simmons. Okay, so Mr. Simmons, working for NBC News, the Today Show, goes to Ukraine, goes to Crimea specifically, and while in Crimea, decides to interview people on the street and ask them, hey, how do you feel? I mean, are you Russian? Are you Ukrainian? You know, what would happen if Ukraine, took over Crimea? And the responses were absolutely stunning. In fact, if we can play the video that's associated with that right now, that would give you an idea of what the response was. And that would be, in the show prep. If you're looking at this, folks, because, well, let me see here, because of the way I had to put this out, the video would not post as a video. So you have to click on the link, and it's within the body of the article. And that would be the first, let me see here. Or did it take? No, it didn't take. So it would be in the body of the article. Exclusive. I'm sorry. You've got it, Eric the Tech, right? Exclusive.
You all right?
No. I'm confused because, seriously, working with this and coding, trying to code this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like something, especially at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It's just like really weird. So, but it wouldn't allow me to link directly to the video. So here it is, exclusive. Get a rare look inside Russia annexed territory of Crimea. This is NBC Today Show. You can advance it to the 1 minute mark if you're in a hurry. And my question is, okay, or my intro to this is, the silence of the rabid, irrational, and hypocritical leftists and the rhinos inside government, the latter who never met a war they didn't like or whatever, didn't support, is deafening. What involves the tyranny of the personal, of their personal hero, which is Zelensky. You know, orange man bad, Zelensky good, Ukraine good. We have to protect their borders, but not ours. It's just so hypocritical. So this guy goes over, Keir Simmons goes over and interviews people in Crimea. Here it is.
Large numbers support Russia. Is Crimea Russian or Ukrainian?
Russian,
Crimea
конечно.
Is Russian.
Да.
Of course Russian. Forever, this 73-year-old Praskovia Baranova tells me.
There's a sign for a bomb shelter over there.
Укрытие. И что?
So what, she says. Are you frightened?
Ну, надо будет и в укрытие.
No, she says. If it's needed, we'll just go to a bomb shelter. If we don't defend our motherland, we will become slaves, Ruslan Nalgiev says. The streets are lined with propaganda. The West doesn't need Russia. We need Russia, this poster reads. But the UN has accused Russia of many human rights abuses in Crimea. Olga, who is afraid to give us her last name, tells us all mothers, both Russian and Ukrainian, weep for their children. I can't speak about it without tears, she says.
Hey, thanks for watching. Don't miss the...
All right. So there you get the idea, right? Hey, we're Crimean. We're part of Russia. And that's the way it is. And we'll fight against Ukraine on behalf of Russia. So, but here's the takeaway from the story. What do you think happened to the journalist who... Or what do you think happened to Keir Simmons, the guy asking the questions? He earned himself a spot on Zelensky's kill list. You heard me right. Zelensky's kill list. So
that's from the top, baby.
So let me get this straight. Randy Taylor, help me out here.
I'll try, sir.
All right. So Saint Zelensky, you know, the guy that's morally righteous, fighting a morally righteous war, backed by Lindsey Graham, backed by Pelosi, backed by everyone, Ukrainian flags flying in churches and all this, and people, pastors saying, oh, we got to support Ukraine. So Zelensky is put on a kill list because, why? Because he did interviews, conducted interviews in Crimea, and got the, or not got, but the people who found the people were in favor of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't hear about this on the news. Now, I'm not surprised about that, but are you surprised, though, that we're not hearing anything about this from our government?
No.
Anything at all? I mean,
no, because this that reporter went against the narrative. That's why he's on the kill list. And I'm really just really surprised that anybody leaked out that he was on a kill list.
Yeah. Well, actually, the kill list is online.
Okay, but that's the fact that something like that even exists.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, I mean that you put a reporter on it. No, if you want to knock off reporters, we can give you a list. Okay. But and this guy for going in there and telling the truth. They want you to believe that everybody in the Ukraine hates Russia. And that obviously is not the truth. Okay? And heaven forbid that somebody go in and expose the truth. The truth is what makes these people like scatter for their holes like rats. You know what I mean? And now they've got it. They're going to have to try and either bury this or figure a way to defend against it. And they figured, if we don't talk about it, it'll go away. But thank goodness for outlets like this. If I was NBC, if I was, say, the boss at NBC, I'd be livid. I would be livid for someone to threaten one of my people.
Don't you think that?
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I mean, isn't there a moral responsibility for... sort of outrage, at least a feigned outrage.
Yeah. So, yeah, you would think, but like I said, Doug, it doesn't fit the narrative. And this right here, things like this is what proves what's going on in the Ukraine. Okay. And that this is a political game. People are saying that Ukraine's going to beat Russia. Would you stop with that? Okay. That's just simply not going to happen. Okay. Ukraine is not David and Russia is Goliath. That's not the case here. Okay. If Russia wanted to stomp Ukraine into the ground and somebody pulled the trigger, it would right now, the way the Russian troops and equipment are in Ukraine, they would pull that off in about 72 hours.
This
whole war is a political thing.
Well you've
it's a gigantic. This was the purpose was to bring attention, and I'm glad that Putin is bringing attention to this. Ukraine is a toilet. Okay, tell me one good thing that comes out of Ukraine that's positive and is great for other countries. Just give me one, anyone. I don't care.
Fertilizer.
Oh, okay. And it smells as bad. And bleach blonde women, you know what I mean? All right, so I understand that the wives may not be flowing out of there like they used to. Okay, I get that. But the point is, we're being fed, and this needs, anybody with any sense would know that Ukraine, I don't care what we loaded them up with, okay, as far as equipment and money and all, they are not going to beat Russia. Okay, remember who Vladimir Putin is. That is a man that's seen everything. And he knows how wars are to be fought to win. This is not a rookie. This is not a punk, okay? And I listened to him. I listened to his speeches. I think I fired one off to you. This man speaks about the Bible to his people. What American leader do you remember speaking about the Bible to us? Do you know how many Christians are in Russia? A lot. There's a lot. Well, far more Christians in Russia than in Ukraine, I can tell you that.
That's a nice segue into the next item about Ukraine. Sure. Now, I'm gonna try not to screw this one up as bad as the first one. Ukrainian president... Yep. And patron saint of the left and all of the neocons, Zelensky shutters Christian churches. Now, I didn't link to that, but that's page 2. That's an article at HagmanPI.com. Okay, now, Eric the Tech, I apologize for not putting that as a link, but it's the, actually, right now it's the feature story. And here's the issue, and I want to bring this out, Randy Taylor, and get your take on this. Okay. Because history appears to be repeating itself. Now, I'm a big fan of Eric Metaxas. I'm a big fan of the book, A Letter to the American Church. And that's, some of this is where this came from. But history appears to be repeating itself. If you remember, Adolf Hitler privately despised Christianity and the Christian church during his rise to power in pre-war Germany and throughout his time as Germany's leader, as the Nazi leader. But at that time, German pastors, including Martin Niemöller, Kurt Barth, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, realized that the Christian church inside Germany was under attack and would be co-opted and essentially destroyed by Hitler and the Third Reich. So in 1934, you had Niemöller, Bonhoeffer, and Barth draft and published something called the Barman Declaration. Now, what this paper was, what this declaration was, it stated that Hitler and the German state must not use the church, co-opt the Christian church, and that the sanctity and separation of the church from the state must be absolutely clear. Now, from the book itself, all who signed this document were known as the Bekennende Kirche, or the Confessing Church. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. And they declared it the uncompromised church to be the true church in Germany, free from Nazi interference and submitted only to God. But what is shocking to us today is that most pastors in Germany were not willing to sign that declaration. Okay, so there were some 18,000 pastors, roughly, a total of 18,000 pastors in Germany at the start of Hitler's reign. It was whittled down to 12,000, and out of that 12,000, maybe 3,000, perhaps, possibly, and the numbers are not clear, even Eric Metaxas references this, signed the declaration. So you're looking at anywhere between 9 to 12 to even 15,000 who did not sign a simple statement, a simple declaration, stand up for their faith. And we're seeing history repeat itself. The good guy in this particular battle, Zelensky versus Putin, Zelensky's bringing us closer to World War III. He's shutting down churches and arresting priests and nuns. And the question I raise here, and I'm going to toss this out to you, why aren't Christian leaders in the U.S. saying anything about this travesty and instead endorsing it? Because you walk into churches, they've got Ukrainian flags all over the place. Ain't no one saying nothing about this. Okay, so you, if you click the, which is in the show notes, this would be video 3. This is Tucker Carlson explaining what I just explained a hell of a lot better than me doing it, but here it is.
It's now closing churches belonging to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. He says the country needs spiritual independence. So you have to ask yourself, he's literally shutting churches and arresting priests and nuns. This is happening on the internet. You can see it if you want. So why aren't Christian leaders in the United States saying anything about this and instead endorsing it effectively, as Russell Moore and many others have? Megan Basham is a reporter with the Daily Wire. She joins us today. Megan, thanks so much for coming on. This seems like a big deal. I can't remember in my lifetime a European country closing churches and throwing Christians in jail at this scale. Why do no Christian leaders here notice it?
Yeah, it's pretty surprising, because when you look at the situation here, they are ejecting monks from an 11th century monastery. There are saints buried beneath this church. And you don't see this type of behavior in liberal democracies. And no. So you think those who held Zelensky out as a particular hero, who cheered him, who assured us this is someone that we need to support, that we need to throw our support behind as Christians, would now be questioning his particular actions. And we're not seeing that. There's really been total silence as he has begun doing what can in many ways be called persecution of members of the Ukrainian Orthodox faith. So why is that silence there? I would even point to the fact that we're not even seeing a lot of coverage of it from outlets like Christianity Today, which Russell Moore is the editor-in-chief of. And that's just some big questions that I have. How can you write so many essays about Trump, who hasn't been in office for 3 years now, but really say nothing about what is religious persecution? Possibly Ukraine says they have found leaflets, but that's all that they're pointing to is they found some rubles and leaflets in these churches, not weapons, nothing, you know, particularly scary. So you have to wonder, why the silence?
Well, it's absolutely shameful. They're closing churches and arresting priests, and Christian leaders here say nothing about it. I think it's genuinely shameful, and I appreciate your reporting on this.
Randy Taylor, your thoughts on this?
Well, I thought you were talking about Canada.
Archer Pulaski, right? Yeah, it's a name one, but go on.
Christianity is under attack. Folks, the Christian leaders in this country have failed. They're failing miserably. Okay? They're afraid to speak out. They don't want to lose their little tax deductions. And if they get threatened, they don't want to lose their job or the church be closed and all. And I'm sorry. Sometimes you're just going to have to take that risk.
Yep.
And one thing, and remember this, and I want you guys to think hard about this and everything's transpired in the last few years. If you turn around and look, the Democratic left, okay, let's just call them the left. I don't know, Democratic there. The left is intent on keeping Christians and conservatives and like-minded people, they are intent on keeping us apart from each other. Okay? COVID closed churches. Other establishments were open, but they closed the churches. There were pastors. I mean, they were going after pastors. I know of pastors being arrested. And I'll say that for sure in Canada. But what they're doing, this is a focused effort. And I'll tell you why. If you get two or more, as Scott said, if two or more people are gathered in my name, then I'll be there. Okay. They don't want that. The most dangerous thing to Satan and evil is someone with faith. And when you get a bunch of, that is one thing that helps people hold their faith together is being with other Christians, intermingling with other Christians. That's why they're putting up these barriers where you can't go here, you can't go there. That's the COVID was an attack on everything in general, as far as people, economics. I understand all of that, but there's even a bigger target. Are Christians. Okay? You're also going to find that most Christians are conservatives. These jerks that you see, I'm going to keep my language good today. These jerks that you see, I read one about a pastor up in Minnesota saying that our God must be too small if he doesn't understand abortions. I don't know if you saw that. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking,
you sent it to me. Yeah. I saw.
Yeah. What honestly and Jesus inspired and God guided minister would ever say something like that? Why? He's what we read in the Bible about false prophets. Those are the only pastors that are going to get airtime are the ones that are carrying the left's narrative. And the left's narrative is completely, that's why everything's so far left and so far right. Christianity is one of those huge dividers. Okay? I don't know personally of any Christians that are liberal or Democrat. Personally. Of people that I know. I couldn't name you one. Stop and think about it.
How do you explain then? How do you explain some of these female, I don't believe in female pastors, but that's beside the point. I mean, if you do, that's fine. I mean, whoever, it's okay. However, how do you explain these pastors who not only tolerate, but promote drag queen stuff, the homosexual agenda, the trans agenda? How do you explain that?
This is exactly what we were told about in the Bible. These are false prophets. You can call them a pastor. You can call them whatever you want. Remember I said the other day, an old man said, you can paint a turd any color you want. At the end of the day, it's still a turd. Okay? That's what we have here. And the people that preach the left's narratives are the ones that are going to get the airtime. They're the ones that the focus is going to be on. But anybody that goes against, I mean, you read, man, all you gotta do is read your Bible. And our listeners, you guys read your Bible. You know it. You know it. We're not making this up. Okay. But these people are evil. These are Satan's minions. If you're talking about putting a drag queen in front of a child, if you're talking about discussing sex changes with a five-year-old, if you're making time for your classroom to sit here and be spoken to by drag queens and queers and LB, whatever I don't even know all the letters, so I don't even say it anymore, okay? Because every day they add a new letter on the end of that LB, UJ, whatever it is. I don't care. The whole list is wrong, okay? This is the end times, people. It's the end times.
Okay? I agree.
Just even if you weren't a Christian and you look at humanity and where humanity's going and how things are moving so fast, things are moving too fast and it's going to crash. This 747 is going down, baby. Okay? Be ready.
Brace for impact. It's going down faster than the Dow, right, today.
When we tell you to be vigilant, that's for a reason. We don't say that. Those aren't, you know, catchphrases or anything. We mean it. And if there's something going on, because the media doesn't pass this stuff, but if you see something critical, and you see something, you witness it, and first thing I'm going to ask you to do, you witness something horrid, okay? First of all, get some evidence, take some pictures or something, video something. But the first thing I want you to do is research and make sure there's nothing about it, okay? And get that in the right hands. People like us, we need to see that stuff.
When you what do you mean there's nothing about you? Make sure it's try to authenticate it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, please.
All right.
A little bit. I've asked some people to please stop emailing me, okay? Because every time they click on a link, they send me a link. Don't do that, please. You're hindering me when you do that.
Okay? Yeah.
Do not put me on a list. I'll trash can you. I've got enough email. I have enough in my life to deal with. I've got enough email to deal with. We're working on a lot of things here with HagmanPI.com. Please make it important. Okay. And then I've got my regulars that email and say, hi, you will always be welcome. I love you. You know that. I respond to you. We chat. Okay. That's cool. But I'm saying don't stick me on a list. And please, not every time you click a link, send it to me. It defeats the purpose.
Hey, Eric, okay? The tech, have you been signing him up on a list? I know you have.
No, not really. But listen, Christianity is under attack in a big way. Yeah. Guys, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. They used to feed Christians to the lions. I hate to even fathom in my mind what sort of public sport they're going to make out of killing Christians.
So you and I got together, and this is no script here, but you and I got together post 9/11, around 9/11, I guess, because of 9/11, for different reasons. But did you ever think that 22 years now, post 9/11, we'd be talking about this kind of stuff?
No, sir. I honestly thought the enemy was going to be the Middle East.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda, terrorist groups. That's what I geared up for. And now the enemy and the people that we monitor, we watch, are the ones that are supposed to be protecting us.
So
things are so far off the rails, Doug. That's what I'm saying. This is going to come to a head real soon.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's no choice. We don't have any good Christian leaders even talking to the White House. You remember how Billy Graham used to, he'd go back to Richard Nixon. I remember as a kid. And Billy Graham would go to the White House and they'd have prayer. Heaven forbid they do that because they're going to offend somebody. Okay. Part of our problem too, and I hate to say this, okay, we've allowed way too many different cultures into the company en masse. Okay. We've got We've got battles inside the country. We've got battles outside the country. This country is in deep doo-doo. Okay? And you look at your illustrious leader. Look at Joe Biden. He should be in a senior citizen's home somewhere, being fed through a straw, you know? This guy is a moron. That's not a leader. And then I go look and I look back and I'm thinking, when was the last time we had a real leader? And I don't know how old anybody out there is, don't matter. I served under Reagan in the military. Okay? And I'll be honest with you, that's the last decent leader I remember.
You know, people will, regardless of who's in office, people are going to pick apart, find fault, and say, he did this or he did that. Look, I know Trump put Gottlieb and Azar into office, pushed the warp speed clot shots. I get all that, okay?
When I say I left Trump out for a reason, is we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
I love Donald Trump. I really do. I admire the man. I would work for that man if he asked me to. And I'll tell you right now, if I was working for him, none of his staff would have screwed him.
That's true. Believe me.
Be advised, they would have been screened, rescreened. And I don't care if they whispered it under their breath while taking a pee. They said something about the boss. Boom. They'd have been gone. Because when I tell you I'm loyal to you and I give you my word, that's the end of it. I will die for you. I will die trying.
Or someone else will. I've seen them in with a gun.
There's that too. But I'm just saying, poor Donald Trump went into the office with all the right intentions, but they started attacking him from the word go. And in all fairness, the first part of his presidency, he had the houses to where he could have got some things done.
You know, and again, and by the way, just everybody out there has got baggage, has got problems. Yes. Okay, yes. We would be better off going to the middle of Nebraska, grabbing a bunch of people, tossing them in there, and let them go.
Donald Trump exposed the left.
And
the biggest thing that was exposed, and this needs to bother everybody still, the voting process is flawed. Okay? The Democrats, and you can thank the left for that. And the first thing, if we ever manage, if DeSantis gets into office, the first thing he needs to do is he needs to wear his hand out writing executive orders. If he doesn't have the houses on his side.
And canceling others.
Oh, I mean it. I would go through, and if they were, I'd go back, and I'd go all the way. I kid you not. I'd go back to Bush Sr.
Yes,
and start erasing, covering it up, getting rid of it, and I would publicly announce everything I turned around, every last ruling, because I want the people. Why? I want to keep the people's faith. I want them to know. I hope DeSantis gets in there personally. I know a lot of people, Trump for president. The hatred for Trump is so deep that, unfortunately, people, we put him back in office, it's going to be 4 years of the same. They're going to attack in such a way. And the poor guy, and God bless him. I, like I said, I love him. But he is not a politician, was never a politician. So if he knew he was going to be president, him running for president was kind of a last-minute decision. Think about it.
I think he was tapped by military, or I think he was tapped on the shoulder and said, "Hey, look, you know, we'll back you if you run."
But very close to having to announce to run.
Yes.
You know, he didn't have 10 years in politics. You need, if you're going to hit that office, you already have to know how to deflect BS.
Correct.
Because everybody's shooting at you. So you've got to know.
Yeah.
Because your eyes have to stay on the prize.
And for a guy who's never held public office before, I get that. And
the poor guy, the first thing they did was arrest his advisors.
Flynn was a bit, Flynn, they had to.
Yeah, Bannon, you know, getting Bannon left. I mean, he suddenly found himself in a mess. And that's why, like I said, I wish that, you know, if he had had guys like you and I there, Doug, think. And I'm not, I would never be seen on camera, trust me. Nobody would know I was there. But I'll tell you what, everybody on that staff and anybody had to answer to Donald Trump would know damn good and well who I was. If they said, Randy Taylor's here, well, they'd be cleaning off their desk and putting the drugs away and, you know, hiding their copy of the Quran or whatever, you know. I'm just telling you, it'd been a different show, but the poor man didn't have that. The people he trusted turned on him.
And how? What a perfect, the Ides of March, what an interesting conversation to have today of all days.
Yes, yes, yes. And it broke my heart watching this because, I mean, I wanted to get on a plane, fly to D.C., try to get into the White House and try and talk to the guy. You know, you can send him a letter. He's never going to see it. Good luck, you know, with an email. I mean, I really, and perchance if any of his people are listening to the show, there's two people right here that would have helped you tremendously.
I think there's a lot of people that would have done very well.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, I can't witness other people's dedication, Doug.
Yes,
I can witness yours. I can attest to yours.
Yep.
I can attest to mine. Outside of that, and I told you, and you know this as well as anybody, outside of my wife and my spouse, you know, my spouse and my children, you are the only man in this world I wouldn't trust my life to.
Well, you got to put your dog in there too, but yeah. I get that, and I think that that's where we're at now.
Sorry, I got off course.
No, you made some good points because on the left, I can't see them allowing Biden to stay. Okay, no, so.
No. But what terrifies me is who's his proposed replacement.
Well, did you?
That's like up in Canada. They got Trudeau, and they all want to bounce Trudeau out. Who's going to be his replacement?
Well, the old boss.
The left wants to bounce him out.
Right. Well, and you know that. I mean, the devil you know versus the devil you kind of know, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where with Iraq, you know, anybody remembers back in 91 when we were tearing them up, that highway of hell, the highway of death or whatever it was, we were just slaughtering these guys. Okay, it's so bad that the media was like, "We got to stop this. People don't want to see this. People are getting sick watching it." Okay, but we didn't go into Baghdad and take Saddam. Why? Because at least we knew the guy. If something happened to him, the likely replacement would have been his brother, and which made Saddam look like, you know, a good guy. His brother was a psycho. He was a psycho's psycho. So that's why they didn't go into Baghdad and kill him. That's a subject for why we
Uday and Kusay notwithstanding, but okay, yeah, I got that.
But, wow. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you just said, the devil we know.
Right. Okay.
You know?
But here's the thing, okay? So they're using this vegetable, Biden, to... to get a lot of stuff going. I mean, you push their agenda, the Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Samantha Power, Susan Rice, even Bush. But
he doesn't push back. He does what he's told.
Well, he can't. I don't think he's functionally capable of pushing back. So here's the thing. I want to ask you about this. You get rid of Biden. There's Harris, and then there's Gavin Newsom, which I believe is, like you pointed out, he was measuring the drapes. You know, maybe there's, because Biden is going to go down.
I'm more worried about them bringing Obama back in somehow.
Well, Michael Obama.
Well, you said drag queens earlier in the show, so that is only fitting, sir.
Yeah. You know, there's something there. I think it's going to be Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom. I don't know what's going to happen. Hang on.
No. I'll watch what I say.
No, please don't. Just go ahead and unload, man.
We really are in trouble. And if they bring in someone that is even worse than Biden, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to do something.
Yeah.
You know, and here's where they've left us. They bitch about the people on January 6th. The reason the people were there on January 6th was because they felt they'd been cheated in the election. Okay? They were cheated in the election. They had the guts to go and protest that. And look what it turned into. You know what I'm saying? Your opinion is not welcome. Anybody that's going to bark about the voting system is likely to end up in jail. You've got to be careful what you post online. I hate to say that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Which we're in
dangerous, really dangerous ground right now. Ground like we thought it was bad 6 months ago. But the point to this whole, if you take away everybody's ability to protest, argue, or challenge, what's left? Worse.
Well, okay, which is why I want to kind of wrap it up with this.
Sure.
Tell me, because yesterday we saw Joey six shooter Biden flying across the country using up his carbon credits for the year.
And other
people to exploit the deaths of what 11 people, wounding of 9 in Monterey Park, California. Okay, to announce the fact that he's going to stroke a pen, executive orders, and instruct, of course, his AG to to clamp down on gun control. Bypass Congress on gun control by executive order. There it is on the screen, folks. It's at HagmanPI.com.
Any indication to what degree?
Well, he's talking universal background checks, but there's more to it. The more I look into this, there's more to it.
What the hell is a universal background check?
Well, okay. You know, supposedly the gun show loopholes. Here's what where I believe that this is coming from. You will not be able to, if you own a gun and you've got a 20-year-old son upon your death and you want him to have that gun as a keepsake or whatever, you're not going to be allowed to do that, okay? Or you're not going to be allowed to do that the way it is being conducted today. Gun show loopholes, meaning parking lots transactions.
Well, a ton of long guns.
Okay, yeah, that's going to be a film.
Short guns, too.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, so he's going to make felons out of a number of people, like the ATF are trying to make felons out of people with pistol or with like AR-15s with a pistol brace. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I look at this and again, I ask why now? Because he could have done this before or even a little later. Why now? And what's the real purpose, especially with respect to the timing? Is it because of the banks? Is it because of everything else we're talking about?
It's because everything's coming to a crescendo and they know that this pimple's ready to pop, so they're going to want to disarm as many people as possible. Once again, I don't understand people that get on social media and show pictures of their guns and brag about them. Guess what? You're first on the list. Uh-huh. They're coming for you. If you buy guns, okay, and you've bought them in another channel on an illegal channel, why would you even tell anybody that? You know what I'm saying? I'm not promoting that. Okay, guys, I'm not promoting that. Those listeners there, I'm not promoting that. Okay. And if you need a transcript of what I just said, let us know. I'll send it to you. Sorry, audience. That's for the special ears that like to listen. Well, you need to be as secretive as possible. I mean, if you're going to launch a military operation, say, into a foreign country to complete an objective, you don't call them ahead of time and tell them.
Unless you're Millie.
Right. And essentially, that's what you're doing. Because those guns are between you, your maker, and whoever you're going to end up using them on someday. Okay. Or whatever animal you're going to kill. That's nobody else's business but yours. Mm. Okay. And every time they chisel away, if you give them an inch, you see it. They'll take a mile. And if they're coming to enforce one law, you know, it's like when they come to your house to arrest you for you didn't show up in court. They walk in the door, see some pot on the table and arrest you for that, too. You know what I'm saying? One can easily lead right into another. Next thing you know, your butt's sitting in jail. And the way it is today, good luck getting a bond.
Well, unless you're of color, yes, of minority in California with a Soros DA.
There's that, yes.
Yeah, or Antifa.
That, sir.
Randy Taylor, thank you so much for hanging with me, for being with me. Hopefully you'll be okay to do tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I'd love
to
have you. As far as I know, right. The only thing that would change it would be timing of a doctor's appointment, but they're usually pretty good about working with me on that.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Folks, love you guys.
All right. Have a good day. May God bless you. May God protect you.